Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
You know, we've heard many renditions of that song in our church, but I never heard it done so well. You know, we knew that Larissa was an awesome pianist, but I never realized what a great music director she is as well. So thank you. Fantastic. All right, we're in our third series, third part in our series on metaphysical fairy tales, and we did Cinderella and the Snow Queen. Now we're doing Jack and the Beanstalk, which is a very famous, well-known story. And I'm going to tell the story with some pictures first, and then we'll look at it, because there's some problematic parts to this story, but then I want to see if there's any deep metaphysical meaning, because I believe there is, to Jack and the Beanstalk. So let's follow it through, first of all. I think we're all familiar with it from childhood. First of all, there's a cow. Well, what's gone wrong with the cow? Do you remember? It's dried up. So already we're into metaphysics, aren't we? The thing that was providing for us, for this family, Jack and his mom, who happens to be a widow. So again, we're into that sense that it's a hard luck story, you know. She's lost the source of provision now in the cow. Lost the husband and now the cow. And so that something has to change. Our cash cow, which was providing for us, is no longer working. And we can all identify with that. I lost my job. I've got a disease. I don't have as much money now in my accounts as I used to. Things are tough. So the widow sends Jack to get another calf or something that's going to provide for the family. So off he goes. There we go. And of course, the famous thing, he gives the cow away for what? Not for another cow, but for five magic beans. And of course, this seems to him like a wonderful idea because he is a child filled with childlike imagination and wonder. Ooh, cool, magic beans. But to the more grounded person, the more cynical person, that seems like foolhardiness. Now, you'll notice that this takes place in this picture on a bridge. Interesting. It's not mentioned in the story itself, but I like the way the artist has put the bridge in there, because we are on a bridge from one way of looking at life to another, aren't we? And there's a change happening, right, in those magic beans. Okay, Jack is so proud. He takes the beans back to mom. She is not very happy. She's got the spoon out. She's going to beat the living daylights out of her. You stupid boy. Why? Why is she so upset? It's not immediate gratification. It seems like these beans are worthless. It's just a few beans. You bring those back. How stupid can you get, right? Well, look at what the beans represent in a minute, okay? But for now, it's just, it doesn't seem like it's worth anything. Next slide. She's so upset, she throws them out the window, right? And so forgets all about them. They're not even part of the household anymore. And then, overnight, something happens. Overnight, these five beans have grown into a huge beanstalk. It's so big, it's like a tree going from earth to heaven. By the way, in ancient Norse mythology, there is a great tree called the World Tree, or the World Ash Tree, that goes from earth to heaven, and it's symbolic of the connectedness between spirit and matter. And they say that Jack, I was doing a little research on Jack and the Beanstalk, it says some of the traditions that later came through to Jack and the Beanstalk come from that ancient mythological tradition of this great tree, this great world tree. So you know how old these fairy tales are. They go back hundreds, if not thousands of years in their meaning. So bear that in mind, connection between the lower levels and the upper levels, a bit like Jacob's ladder. Well, Jack sees this, and he's amazed, so is his mother, look at that tree. Where'd that come from? See, is it possible for this to happen? I mean, in reality, is it going to happen overnight like this? What? Not in Texas, come on. in spring in Texas, things jump up. You know, there's nothing on the ground, and all of a sudden, it's the garden is full. Then the heat comes, and you know, not so good. But I'm amazed to see all the effulgence of nature in spring in Texas. It goes from gray to amazing green. Yeah. So yes, it is possible. But the important thing is you have to wait. You have to let it gestate. There's that symbolic time, isn't there, of sleeping on it. You know, have you ever slept on something and woken up with the understanding and the new idea in the morning? Or if you've got a problem, sleep on it. Because if you act immediately, that's probably the worst thing you could do. To sleep on it is to give it enough time for it to percolate into the subconscious to bring forth new understanding, right? And this is the symbology here. It was an overnight thing, but it was that time of letting it gestate, lie fallow, wait. Jesus said, unless a seed be put into the ground and die, it cannot yield new things. So we have to have that time of forgetting all about it and letting it do its thing, yeah? If we're picking at it all the time, it's never going to happen. Jack, being the youthful person that he is, what's he want to do? Climb up the beanstalk. Of course he does. So he climbs up, and in the meantime, his hair turns blonde. I don't know how that happened. But this Jack is about us all. The grays, the blondes, the brunettes, we're all part of this Jack consciousness if we're open and receptive. He goes all the way to the top of the beanstalk and he finds a castle. And of course, we know who's in the castle. The giant. And we all know this from childhood. The giant, he's busy counting his money there, but he's also not a very nice person. And he goes, he's very basic, you know. Smell is the way he navigates around in his world. So he's kind of low level, sniffing around for things. And he says the immortal words. We can all say it together. Fee, fo, hey, fo, fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Thank God I'm Welsh. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread. Not a nice guy, you know, not very nice. So I'm going to ask you, what the heck does he represent in this metaphysical fairy tale? We'll come to that in a minute. Let it sit for a minute. But he spends most of his time counting his money. It's his wife, actually, that helps Jack. And I want to ask that question, too. Why? How come his wife is the one that helps Jack get the money? Because what Jack does now is steal some of the money. He steals the coins, takes them back down to his mom. And he makes several journeys up and down this beanstalk. First of all, he gets the coins. And then he finds the source of the good, which is the goose that lays the golden eggs, yeah? So he's no longer satisfied with the manifestation. Now he goes back to the actual source, which is the goose. There's also this very talkative harp that's in the story. The harp is beautiful. He has beautiful music, but he also warns the giant that Jack is about to steal everything. And that's why there's this headlong rush. Let's go to the next one. Headlong rush down the beanstalk. Jack has to chop the beanstalk down before the giant can come and kill him. Yeah. So he manages to do that. And instead, it's the giant that gets killed, comes crashing down. Next. And now, look at the mother is being transformed into a Neiman Marcus lady here. She's now a lady that lunches. She's totally happy. And you look at this. There's the talkative harp, the golden. It looks more like a chicken there, but it's a goose. I don't know what's going on there. The golden chicken. Everybody's amazed, though. And then finally, we get a little moral to this tale. Jack and his mother lived happily ever after and shared their wealth with their neighbors. So, now wait a minute. The negative interpretation. Okay. A young upstart comes along, breaks into somebody's home, steals him blind, and steals it at the source of his whole inheritance, his whole income, and then kills him. Now, is this a good way for us to live our lives? Is this what the the fairy tale is telling us to do, you know, to rob people blind, kill them, and it's all going to be okay. I don't think so. There's got to be another meaning to this. Now, folks, the thing is, we get to choose in our lives how we approach life, because if we approach it from that point of view, life can seem very cynical, you know. It's there for me to use, to grab, to do outrages like we've just seen this week. We don't know why these people do these things, to destroy and to kill others. But it's a worldview that's based on, what, hate and lack and separation, yes? And it yields terrible results. But it's not the whole story. As I would say, we said earlier in the prayer, the reality is that more of us want the higher level of understanding than want that destruction. Yes, obviously, that we are good people, and so we want to choose that more expansive viewpoint. So let's look at that more expansive viewpoint in metaphysically interpreting the tale. We can sort of go through it again, and if you like, and pick it with the slides. There we go. All right, let's just... So metaphysics is all about one person. Who is that one person? You, me, right? All the characters, therefore, that show up in this tale are aspects of us. So who's Jack in you? The optimistic seeker, all right? That's a good one. The one that's open to possibility. Maybe a little naive, but we need naivety, don't we? We need that openness to new information. Otherwise, we'll never succeed in our lives. Well, what's Mom at this time? What's his mother? Let's go to the next, yeah. What? Pessimist. Stuck in a rut. See, there's that fearful, stuck-in-a-rut consciousness within us that wants to see the same old thing again. You know, I've lost one thing, give me another one to replace it. But we can't think that there may be a totally different way of approach, you know. And only Jack can do that. So we definitely want to follow Jack. All right, what are these beans then? Let's get to the beans. There's five of them. Any significance? It's possibility. What about five? Why five? The five unity principles. Okay, that could be. There we go. The five unity magic bean principles. I like that. It's the five senses. You've got to use all your senses. See, the problem with the giant, he was focused on his sense of smell, sniffing it out, which is a very instinctual thing. It's a lower level awareness, yeah? But the higher awareness involves all senses, all ways of taking in information. Yeah. It's a nickel, okay. It seems little, yeah? And yet it's going to yield something great. A cow is worth a nickel. There's a Dollar General over here. We might pop over there. But yeah, small, a nickel, something seemingly insignificant that we could even pass over. But there's something in the beans, isn't there? A bean is a seed. Jesus talked a lot about seeds, talking about the mustard seed, which is tiny but then grew into a large plant, and the birds of the air could make nests in its branches. In other words, out of the seeming seed idea, isn't that what these beans are? They are magic because they are the miracle-working ideas that are going on in our consciousness, yes? The seeds of possibility, if you like, I believe, yeah? And what do they say? The mighty oak tree is present in the acorn, isn't it? And so the whole of possibility, what is to be, is imprinted in that bean. Yeah, it has the capability of being a great giant plant. We are seeds too. We have the capability within us of being something remarkable. Yes. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, if you're willing to just work with those seeds. And even the mom has a role here. Even the cynical part of us has a role. She throws the seeds out. She forgets about them. That's a necessary step, yeah? That's the gestation period. That's where we let it lie fallow, where it goes into the ground and is seemingly gone. But it hasn't gone anywhere. It's gone into the subconscious parts of us to percolate. We've slept on it. And in the morning, boom. So the tree arises. Well, what is this tree then? What's the symbology there? Because where does it go? It goes from the earth way up into the heavens, right? So it's connectedness between the earthly realm and the realm of greater possibility. So we're connecting the two together here. And Jack must, therefore, climb it if he's to connect the two parts of himself, the human, the earthy, with the spiritual. Here's the question, though. If it's so spiritual, how come a mean English man-eating giant is hanging out up there? Shouldn't there be sort of angels and stuff? Okay, so it represents some of the dark parts of us that we have to integrate in order to gain true transformation. Excellent, excellent interpretation. You know, it's scary. When you unleash forces in your life of possibility, they come with great scary parts to them, yes? They're not just easy to assimilate. And they also come with a certain negativity. For instance, if you've been given a lot of gifts or money, you could tend to want to hoard them or be greedy about them or become arrogant about them. See, the giant represented hoarding greed, miserly greed, because he spent most of his days doing what? Counting his money. We see it with celebrities. You know, they've been given great gifts, wonderful talents, but they start to believe their own publicity and they crash and burn. So the message is, don't buy into the giant mentality. Just because you're larger doesn't mean you're better. Christopher Hitchens, he's a writer who just died not too long ago of cancer, but wrote many books, and he was very virulent against religion, and he wrote a book called God Is Not Great. He's one of the new atheists. Anyways, his book, I don't agree with a lot of it, of course, but some of it I do, because there's a lot of truth to the fact that religion can be mind control, and religion over the centuries has done some terrible things. But there's part of his book where he says, surrender. All spiritual traditions ask you to surrender. This is proof positive of how negative they are, because nobody would ask you to surrender unless they wanted to control you. Well, see, I could see then he was coming from a certain mindset that surrender was a bad idea. But the truth is, on the spiritual path, unless you can surrender your small sense of self to something larger, then you're not going to succeed on the spiritual path, right? Until you can let go and let God, basically. Because what are you surrendering? Something small and mean for something larger. A giant couldn't surrender, could he? So if you get stuck in giant consciousness, all you do is end up picking on Englishmen, and don't do it. What? Oh, okay. They're moving on. We mentioned earlier the wife, the giant's wife, helped Jack. Why? What's that about? She's fed up with the giant. Fed up with the giant, wanted to mess with his head a little bit. She was down a little bit on the side with Jack. Is that what you're saying? Let's hope not. She's the feminine nurturing side. Even in the high-risk stakes of the castle, right, where we can give in to greed if we're not careful instead of using these forces wisely, there's also forces that will help us, yeah? Receptive, female, feminine sides of us that will guide us intuitively to do the right thing. So did he steal anything? No, he claimed his good in this level of possibility, and he brought it down to earth. He brought it down to his mom, right? Because he wanted a transformation in her too. And not only did he get the manifestation, the coins, he went to the source. He found the goose or the golden chicken, whatever it is. The goose that laid the golden eggs. What does that represent? A goose. I love saying that word, goose. The goose that laid the golden egg. What is the goose? What's the representation? The source? So it's the part of us, like the cosmic pinata almost, that contains all the goods, right? It's what? It's the law of mind action. It's that goose. It's that wish-fulfilling gem of our consciousness that will bring us all the good. Yes. It's interesting. In India, they lift up the goose and the swan as being symbols of that which has flown free of the earth and could fly over the Himalayas and is able to separate milk from water when they drink. So they pick the beautiful and leave the rest. And also it's the idea that the swan is white, so it represents purity, right? So Paramahansa Yogananda, his name means great swan, great swan. So it's this idea, and we see it in a lot of fairy tales, the swan represents the spirit form that guides us. So it's that wish-fulfilling consciousness within us, yes, a possibility. And of course it has wings, it can fly. It can leave this earthly realm. So he brings that back down. What about this talkative harp? What does a harp do? Soothe people, okay. But the harp almost tells the whole story on about Jack to the giant, and that's where they have this rush down the beanstalk. So it's a problematic harp here. What's that? It comes with strings attached. Beautiful. Everything, it seems, comes with strings attached, doesn't it? Always harping on, oh, enough already. I'm the master of the bad jokes, okay, not you. But great one, yeah, I was harping on it. But even beauty can be problematic if you buy into it, you know, as a thing in and of itself. And if music is beauty and upliftment, if we become obsessed with it, it becomes a problem. Again, looking at some of the celebrities here that have crashed and burned because they bought into their fame, their understanding of who they were, and forgotten their connectedness to surrender and to spirit, yeah? That's writ large, but it also works for us. So we need to integrate that and make it beautiful, truly beautiful. So he brings all these things back. Let's get to the next one. But he has to chop down the tree, the great beanstalk. Why? You'd think, well, that's his connection to possibility. How come he's... I would say he's received everything from this cycle of understanding. The cycle's over. He needs to stop that and move on. Right? He's integrated all he can integrate at this time. He's got the golden eggs. He's got the goose. He's got the money. He's got the harp. He's got everything. And the giant has to die, right? That part of us that is adverse, that wants to use and twist things selfishly, has to go. So it's not murder. It's just an overcoming of that part of ourselves so we can be integrated back down to earth. And here they are back down to earth again. Wow, they're so happy. And they live happily ever after. And they share, right? That's why we've got all these people about to receive the good. Because when you've been gifted with something, as long as you share it, all is well. If you hoard it, it'll go away. You'll never be happy. Yeah, you'll grow long fingernails and live in a strange place, never touching anybody. You know, like happened to Howard Hughes. You know, you become the giant. You become that selfish, weird consciousness. We don't want to do that. So, three things that we can take from this story into our lives this week that are really good and not silly. Because I got a feeling somebody was going to be silly right about then. I could just feel it. Yeah, I see, there it is. Find your good, okay. Stay open to possibility is what I would say. Because, you know, I've been impacted this week, as we all have, with some of the events in our world. And it's easy to become overwhelmed, isn't it? And see things as crazy. But really, I like to see that there's amazing possibility also, yeah? And that good things happen even in the midst of terrible circumstances. Nurture the seeds planted. You know, let the seeds that you have, we all have these seeds of possibility within us, let them be nurtured so that it can come forth. Because if we don't, then we're condemned to live the same old way we've always lived. We've got to be open to new possibility, yes? All right, one more thing. share it with others. Yes, because it's not ours anyway, is it? We are stewards of the good. That's the Jack consciousness. It's a giving consciousness. And it's an adventuresome consciousness, yeah? Always open to the new, staying curious, almost naive, joyous, filled with wonder. It's a good story. Thank you, God.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.